Welcome to episode 3, I guess we will call it, of the John and Tom Show. Let me see if I have anything good here as far as music.
Yeah, words.
You know, by the way, I learned it. I kind of already knew this, but apparently you can't use music on podcasts unless you pay for licensing.
Is like that about
$1,500 to $2,000 a song.
Holy
so
guacamole.
I'm going to have to bring in my own stuff. So, okay. And that's okay. I got lots of original music. You guys won't know it, but.
Where is the Christmas spirit anymore? I ask you. You got to pay to play Christmas songs.
We could.
Only in America.
We could sing songs too. We could singing things. I've got like all kinds of things.
I don't know that I want to put the listeners through that kind of pain.
Oh, you know, they all appreciate that. I know they do. Here's some of my music here. I did back in San Francisco.
A little bit of California rock
here. Yeah, it's space rock. Welcome to space rock. But we aren't going to do that too much. Just wanted to give you a taste. Sometimes it's nice to have a little beats going.
All right.
So what is there? What are we doing today, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you, John, we had the weekend events. Well, between Saturday, starting with the Trump Stop the Steal rally in D.C., and they also had a similar rally up in Olympia, Washington. But since then, this has been like a snowball rolling downhill for the happenings. And I've had a hard time. Honestly, I've had a hard time keeping up with it all. You know, from Saturday today and today being Wednesday, there's been so much happening. I've really had to look hard at what I was going to include for the show and what I was going to exclude for the show. So if I miss anything that anybody out there thinks is really important, please, you know, contact us, let me know, and, you know, we'll hear what you have to say on that. But anyway, the other day I was looking, you know, of course, Trump is still convinced that the election was stolen from him and all that. And one of the things he said a while ago was, well, gee, how can it be that the Republicans gained, and this was not predicted at all, gained 12 seats in Congress, but he lost the presidential election. Well, you know, that could be due to a few things. Number one, split tickets. Like me, I actually voted a split ticket because, folks, believe I am an independent. In fact, here and I made a mistake the other day when I called Indiana the Republican capital of the United States. This is actually the Mecca. This is the Mecca for Republicans, and you know, this is the standard. We set the standard by which all Republicans look to. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. Anyway, he said, you know, how can it be that, you know, they gained 12 seats in Congress and I lost presidential election? Well, okay, that could be a lot of things. Number one, like I said, split ticket, which, yes, Donnie, people do vote split ticket. And evidently, a lot of people voted split ticket this time. Or it could be gerrymandering. You know, that's, you know, where some of these districts were gerrymandered to be heavily Republican and these Republican candidates won, or it could be conspiracy.
Yeah. Yes.
So I thought, well, how can we look at this and eliminate at least gerrymandering? And then it struck me, okay, some of the states.
Can you back up and explain gerrymandering for some of those that may not understand?
Gerrymandering it's been around for forever. It's a political move where districts like state and like local and national districts are the lines are drawn so that they favor one party or the other. Okay, so there's been gerrymandering that favors the that they've done, and it really usually all depends on who's got the political power at the time. So, but there have been cases where these areas, and it's called a gerrymander because the guy that saw it on the map for the first time, he said, well, that looks like a salamander, so they called it gerrymandering because his last name was Jerry or something. But anyway, it's redistricting and drawing district lines depending on party concentration. So, like, you're going to have, in each state, you're going to have some areas that are heavily Democrat, some that are heavily Republican. And so the idea of the party in power is to, of course, incorporate those districts or those areas for their benefit.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I explain that well?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it could have been gerrymandering, could have been split ticket, or, you know, it could be the, those left-wing conspirators. Yeah.
Stealing the election.
Stealing votes. Yeah.
Cheating.
Yeah, they may well have just ignored the congressional vote and only moved the presidential votes from the Trump column into the Biden column. You know, I mean, it's, who knows? I just, it scares me to think that we had election fraud. Yeah, right. Okay. And if you believe that, John, I want to talk to you about some property I've got in Florida.
Well, I just talked to my friend. I just talked to my friend who lives in near Traverse City, Michigan, and he lives in one of those. He lives in Antrim County, which is there was a little controversy about that. Apparently, that was one of the counties where they felt that there was a lot of fraud, and obviously, it was a very heavily Republican county, but Biden won it, and so they went back and looked at it, and apparently, the person who was handling the votes. Who was a heavily Republican person, accidentally switched them to Biden. So it was a honest mistake, a big blunder by, so it's an interesting story. But you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, and that was one of the reasons that was given a lot of the people the fuel. Like, have you heard of the Oath Keepers?
No,
Oath Keepers are one of those militias out there that are pro-Trump militias that are protecting. They'll go to Trump rallies and show up with, you know, heavily armed with fatigues, and they'll look like police officers, but they're not.
Cross and, ammo belts.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. And there's some of the people that show up at, the governor's mansion and things like that.
Oh, geez.
That's what's giving them fuel, those kind of stories. But then they realize at the end, it's like, oh, it's just nothing, you know, and. But those guys are a little scary. There's not a ton. I mean, I think there's 10,000 of them or something, but you know, it's still a powerful force out there. And, you know, they're talking about civil war. They're talking about, not ever recognizing the president as being the president. And that's kind of one of the things. I mean, a lot of these other news networks, that's what they're saying too. We'll never recognize them. Back to what you were saying. You were in the middle of a point.
No, sorry. Well, no, that's fine. No, that's great, John. You know, come in any time. But so I thought, okay, how can we, are there elections we can look at that would at least eliminate gerrymandering? That is statewide elections only. And then I thought, well, okay, some states, like our beloved Hoosier land here, had gubernatorial elections this time. There were 9 states altogether. So I looked at those 9 states, and 7 of the 9, if Biden won, they elected a Democrat governor and vice versa. If Trump won, but there were 2 states, and Don, if you're listening, you better send Rudy and the gang to these 2 states because you missed it. They're small, but this could be even be the center. The center of the left wing conspiracy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That being Vermont and New Hampshire. Okay, now get this.
So are they governors or are they, what are they? What was the it senators
was,
or what?
It was governor.
Governors.
Gubernatorial elections. Okay. So these were statewide elections.
Right.
Okay, so we can throw out gerrymandering. Okay. Mm-hmm. So actually it's statewide elections so that you know, you're voting for governor and president at the same time and they're going to be the same.
So 7 out of 9 of them were in line with presidential. They stayed with the party,
exactly,
the president, but these two where they flipped the governors to Democrat, those two.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay, like Vermont, for example. In Vermont, the Republican, Scott, won by 69%. But Biden won Vermont with 66%, which means...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which means...
I see. So president was chosen Biden, but the Republican... Okay, I see.
Again, and okay, so that means he... Where Biden won Vermont, where the governor of... the Republican governor won by 69%, Trump lost by 34%.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, and then if we go to New Hampshire, Biden won by 53%, and the Republican, Sununu, won 65% of the vote. Hmm. So here you've got these two governors that win by margins of 60-plus, and Trump lost. Now here, and again, it could be... And if there's another possibility, somebody please let me know, enlighten me. But I'm looking at this, either has to be one split ticket. Okay. A lot of people are saying, okay, we want the Republican for governor, but Donnie, we don't want you for president. Okay. Or it could be the conspiracy.
Well, he doesn't care that much about Vermont and New Hampshire because they're small. And they're not swing states. So they're focusing on those four states that are swing states. And it seems to be all their energies are focused on that because that's going to get them a victory. At this point, a lot's happened since our last podcast. I mean, you know, the Electoral College voted.
Oh, God.
And
yes.
Everything is, you know, at this point, Biden is president-elect, you know, and then I guess on January 3rd is when they will...
January 6th.
January 6th is when they will actually do the vote in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I did see the other day Stephen Miller said they're submitting alternate electoral votes, which is allowed.
Oh, really?
Is allowed, yes. The alternate electors can submit votes to Congress. Yeah. I found this out the other day. Very surprising, but most people are probably going to ignore them, but they can do that. It's allowed in the Constitution. I don't know if it's in the Constitution, but what document it is, but it is allowed. So the other side can pick their own electors and send them to Congress. So I don't, when, is it, who is signing Congress, meaning House and Senate?
And the Senate, right.
Both.
Yeah. It has to go through both houses.
Both. So you have... You know, and you also have, let's see, how many senators out there were Republican that basically signed on to, is 126, I think that left, I don't know how many, 90 or so.
Yeah, it was 126 representatives.
90 or so that didn't.
Right.
So their majority might be gone. If they decide to go do this crazy thing, like we're going to only accept the alternate. So I still think that's, you know, it's... we're gonna be okay, but they're still trying. They're scratching it.
Every
little possibility, you know.
Like I said, Trump is. If ever there was a desperado right now, it's Trump.
Well, that's Scarface. I'm telling you, it's that last. I'm looking out the window at the new snow that we got, and I'm thinking that's on his table. And he was going down. He was put his head in a big giant pile of cocaine and started blowing people away. But it's scary, but you know, it's sad more than anything.
Yeah.
Like they're, but you know what? I'll give it to them. They're relentless, and they won't give up. You know, I think your point the other day about them being worried about the repercussions after they are no longer touchable. Once they become touchable, after they're out of office, him and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Also the Russian hack that just happened, at a very, very high level this weekend. Which, you know, makes you, you know, begs the question, like, how did that happen? The timing, Trump fired the cybersecurity director a month ago, and now there's, you know, all these evidence, huge Russian hack that happened in the last month or two, strictly government data, Pentagon, all the way through the government. And you know, what's going on there? There's something funny going on there. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a huge deal, and I don't think it's getting enough press. But the timing of it may you know, I'm going to throw out a little conspiracy theory of my own, that, which could be true. Maybe, you know, because they have so much stuff on Trump, this is near the end, and they're just, okay, maybe we won't kill you and your family. maybe we won't put you all in jail or take you away or nab you if you give us this information.
Okay.
You know, and say, maybe this was a little last minute try to save my butt thing by Trump and his family and people.
A little bit of wheel and deal.
Yes, a little wheel and deal at the very end. Yeah, okay, we'll give you all the secrets of America.
Yeah.
Because I can.
You know, for some reason, this reminds me of Spiro Agnew. Now, I didn't vote for Nixon in 72. Actually, I voted for Walter Mondale, and I was a little too young to vote in the 68 election. But anyway, after Watergate came down, they did a big investigation of Spiro Agnew, who was vice president at that time. So as it turned out, Spiro had a bad habit of cheating on his taxes. So, but here's what gets me. He went to court and pled nolo contest, which means, you know, guilty, of course, fancy Latin word term. You know what he got out of it? Now, had this been you or I, or anybody else listening out there, I don't think it would have gone down this nicely. He got a $10,000 fine, and the Justice Department agreed not to press charges on him for, get this, bribery and extortion.
Wow.
So, you know, is there true justice in this country? I don't think so.
No. There's justice for some, but that's a whole other.
Oh yeah,
podcast, I mean, justice, yeah. Ooh, that's a big one.
Yeah. That's one that we could spend a couple of podcasts on.
Oh yeah.
But anyway,
that's your only podcast. But.
You know, that's really, you know, your point about the alternate electors is really surprising. I've been working on this since Saturday. I mean, I've done a lot of research, and some of this stuff. Toward the end, some of the stuff I came across, you know how sometimes when you're doing research, you're going through articles and all this, you stumble across something you weren't really even looking for, but it blows you away. That's what happened with me. I found a couple of things that
and it's every day. It's like multiple times a day you're finding stuff that's just like, what?
Yeah. It's like I said, there's been so much stuff happened since from Saturday on, I haven't been able to keep up with it all.
Yeah. Give us some more. I want to hear some more.
Okay. Well, okay. This, and what I tried to do, I kind of put them day by day, and I skip around a little bit, admittedly, because it was the information was coming in fast and furious, and I really didn't have a chance to get it all organized. So it's going to jump around a little bit. But anyway, here's the events of 12-14. Of course, again, folks, this isn't all of them. It's just a few of them. So I had to, because there was so much, I had to edit and decide, okay, what am I going to keep and what am I going to not keep? But anyway, number one, the Rudy and his gang, get this, they lost a court case. The Wisconsin Supreme Court threw out their complaint to throw out Wisconsin election results and give it to Trump.
Well, all of the, sorry to interrupt, but all of the court cases at this point are dismissed, except I think there's only things that are still out there are appeals. There's no court cases that are currently open. They've all been resolved. Yeah. Except for the appeals to the, you know, the ones that have already
appeals
that have been, yeah. So they're reappealing things, but everything else has been resolved. So sorry, keep going.
Well, no, it's interesting you should bring that point up, because the next tidbit I have is that, do you know what Rudy and the boys, and they're brilliant attorneys. I mean, brilliant attorneys. These guys are, wow. their record over this business is one win, and this is as of Monday, 1 win, 59 losses.
That's like Prairie View basketball team from 1987 to 2000 or something.
You know, I was going to say, man, if I was a head coach and I saw this, I thought, well, hell, if I had a record like that, I'd have been fired a long time ago.
They don't care about that. They just... It's causing chaos. That's what they want. You know, it's still, it's just causing chaos. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, okay. So in the electoral vote, this is interesting. Trump lost by the same margin of electoral votes as he won by in 2016. So you talk about topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
And here's what's even better. When he won the electoral vote in 2016, he called it a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now we should be able to say that Biden won by a landslide. You know.
Yeah, and there was a lot of close states in that 2016 too.
Oh yeah. Well, see the states. If you go back and look at the 2016 election and look at the maps, you know, that show the votes, whatever. Each one of these quote battleground states, Trump barely won in 2016.
Right.
Barely won. It's not like he dominated the vote. He barely won those states. So evidently in the last 4 years, either there's been a conspiracy.
Just as a sidebar, though, doesn't it seem sensical on both sides just to say, popular vote? Then your vote would matter. Like, no matter where state you live in, no matter where you live, your vote is the same, has the same weight as anybody else's vote. I know people say the Electoral College helps maybe rural places or some states that don't have as much say because the cities have too much sway. But you know what? Maybe that just needs to go away because, you know, our votes don't really, you know, matter that much in some cases. You know, it depends on what state you live in. If you live in a swing state, then it matters. But if you don't, then it doesn't. True. And it's sad. Yeah. It doesn't seem right. I think we're the only country in the world that does that. I mean, I think everybody else is popular vote, but I could be wrong there. Feel free to correct me. But I don't know. Once I learned that, I don't know how many years ago, I was like, what are we, what's that for? You know, why, what, I don't know. The voting, just feeling like my vote is sort of irrelevant. And there's so many people out there, all you can do, your only power is to vote. And I was like, what if I live in California? It's like, it's going to be a blue state. No matter what.
Yes.
Or some other places or, you know, red states that are guaranteed to be red. Like your vote is, you know, if you're in the other party of that, you're kind of helpless. You know, you're not, your vote is gone. It doesn't matter. You know, so I it'd be nice if popular vote was the way to go. And I think, I don't know why both sides, I mean, whoever wins at the time, whoever loses by, you know, say like Trump won, he lost a popular vote, like 3 or 4 million votes and won in 2016.
Exactly. Yes.
So the other side is obviously going to be saying that, you know, trying to get the popular vote to be the, you know, whoever wins the popular vote is going to want that to be the rule.
Exactly.
But I still think regardless of which party wins, I mean, I've always said I accept a defeat. If you lose, you lose. And every president up to this point has been pretty graceful, I'd say, when losing, you know. Mitt Romney did it pretty gracefully. Even Al Gore the hanging chads and with Bush, and that was that could have been a legitimate try to you know, look further into this, but he conceded right away.
Yeah, he did.
And George Bush's brother was the governor of Florida. So talk about potential fraud. I mean, but he didn't pursue it because he respected the process. You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go back to the election of 1960, and that was, of course, Kennedy versus Nixon. And it turned out, I need to look this up, but it was an extremely close vote, okay? And to his credit, Nixon, instead of raising hell and saying, I was robbed and all that, he said it'd be best for the country. Best for the country. Yeah. Are you listening, Donnie? Best for the country.
Yeah.
If he would go ahead, if he acknowledged the win.
Yeah, you got to say, I mean, Richard Nixon was probably he had good and bad things about him, but I think overall people look at him as kind of a bad president because of what he did with Watergate and some of his other actions and behaviors and Vietnam War and things like that. I think generally people, but there was still a common thread of what you just said, is sort of respecting, you know, the bigger picture of America and love it. You know, he still, you know, he had his, definitely had his flaws, and he was a, you know, I guess he was Dick Nixon, right?
Yeah, Dick. Yeah, but, Dick.
But, you know, still that common thread of like America is important. It, that doesn't, I don't feel it. I don't feel that Trump is in, that is in him. And that's the really, really funny thing about his supporters is that they feel like he loves America more than any president in history. It's so polarizing the other direction too. Like they, a lot of people believe that he is a more pro-American president than anyone else. And people on the other side think that he's the least American president, the most anti-American president in history. And you know, look at, just look at his actions. Forget about the media, forget about all the other stuff. Just look about what he says, what he tweets, his actions, his everything he does. That's what you need to look at. Forget about how, yes, the media is guilty of, you know, vilifying him, maybe even worse than he really is, which is pretty hard to do, but they do. And they some of them do. They focus really, really hard on vilifying him. But if you just focus on what he's been doing, his actions, his words, there's enough there to realize, you know, if you really are, your eyes are open and you're paying attention, you'll see what he's about. But you get distracted by all the other crazy stuff and people lose their way. But all right, I go on a little rant there.
Yeah, so, no, that's fine. Hey, I love your socks, by the way.
Oh, thanks. They're Tapatio.
Yeah, those are very festive. Yeah, Tapatio.
It's a hot sauce.
Yeah. Red, yeah, with the red sauce, the red with the flames and all. That's you know, I got to get a pair of those.
Yeah,
I want some really nice socks. You know,
well, Christmas is around the corner.
You know, that's right. Remember me at Christmas.
Amazon. It's only a click away. Sorry. Yeah. I'm not advertising. I'm not getting paid by them, so I shouldn't.
Oh, that's right. You better keep your mouth shut.
Never mind.
It's like you played Christmas music the other day, man.
I know. Santa's going to come get me. He's gonna ask for money.
You're going
to. Bing Crosby's ghost is going to come hang out.
You know, Bing Crosby. Pay up. Bing Crosby was such an asshole. He would have sued you. Had he been alive, he would have sued you. He made a living out of that. A lot of people don't realize that he was a dick.
Maybe if we make it to 200 downloads, we'll tighten up the ship or something.
maybe we'll get sponsorship. You know, who knows?
Well, I don't want to get too cozy with using music right now. I mean, I know we did it last time, and it's a lot of fun, and it's like radio, because radio stations can do it because they have a master license for all music.
Right, yeah.
Radio stations pay for that, but individual podcasts can't do it. And if you ever hear people using music out there, it's not
on a podcast.
If they become too popular, that's going to come back and bite them. So I'm going to have to start making up some music, or I don't know.
Well, we're
have this, Tom sing for you. I don't
know. This podcast is getting to be so big, we actually need to retain attorneys.
Yeah, I'm thinking Giuliani.
Exactly. You know, hey, we would. Could you imagine if we got Giuliani of all people, the Rudy Giuliani? Holy no, we'd probably be sued out of existence.
I think our podcast would just kind of shrivel up and implode.
Oh, anyway, getting back to Monday. After Biden, and I was really glad to hear Biden finally speak up, but the whole time, if you'll notice, the whole time it would, when since the election and Trump has been doing all this, I got robbed. You haven't really heard Biden say anything.
That's the best strategy of all time.
Exactly. He's been cool. He's just been sitting back and letting him hang himself a little bit more. But anyway, Kylie McEnany, who of course is Trump's brilliant press secretary.
/ she devil. Yes.
She said that was that Biden's speech was, quote, the most divisive speech ever. And I to no surprise, she was lambasted with tweets, you know, and none of them were pretty. None of them were pretty. And I'm thinking divisive. I mean, who the hell's more divisive in this country right now than your boss? You know, it's crazy.
It's just an alternate reality, really. I mean, they even admitted it. Alternative facts.
Oh yeah,
that's the world they're living in. It's an alternative universe where things are kind of upside down.
Yeah,
and but they're in control of it, of their alternate universe. It's very odd. It's just amazing that they're running the country. And
I know.
But anyway,
I got some stuff at the end that'll shake your shucks as to what's running this country right now. But anyway, also on Monday, Representative Paul Mitchell, a Republican from Michigan, said he's leaving his party and becoming an independent because Republicans have not stood up to President Trump's attempts to overturn the election.
Okay.
And Mitchell said in an interview with CNN, I'm quoting here, with CNN, that the breaking point for him was the amicus brief signed by over 100 House members, and actually it was 126, in support of the unsuccessful Texas-led bid to overturn the president-elect Joe Biden's win at the Supreme Court, which made unsupported claims of widespread voter fraud and argued that voting procedures in four battleground states violated their own state laws. Yep. So, you know, you've got... There are, believe it or not, folks, there are some Republicans out there, thankfully, at the governmental level who do not cordon with all this crap that...
there's been so many opportunities to jump ship, to do the right thing. This is kind of 11th hour for the Republicans to do this. It's a little bit cowardly to do at the very end, but I'm happy that he did it and is saying that. They should have been saying this from a long time ago.
Oh, I know.
This stuff, they knew that it was wrong. They know that this stuff is the wrong direction, but I'm happy that they're, you know, some of them are finally, you know, seeing the light a little bit.
Yeah.
And taking a stand. There's just a lot of fear, I think, with those guys. I think they're afraid of ramifications in their own party. They're afraid of losing their job. They're afraid of
their constituents.
It could come down to that, an individual, you know, fear of losing your job and Lindsey Graham's case, it's like he flips around more than a fish that just landed on a boat. You know,
the scary part, do you realize he is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee? Think about that. He's the and he's right there with Trump in the left wing conspiracy and all that. And this
he wasn't had, at first. There's you know how many videos are there of him bashing Trump in 2016?
Oh yeah. And
he'll in probably in another 6 months he'll go back to the other side again. And I think whatever. He's just one of those guys. He's just going to go ride whatever wave is there and sell his little soul, whatever's left of it, to whatever's the flavor, you know. It's just, it's the ultimate, I think he's one of the slimiest.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of how he operates, you know. Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw Game of Thrones, but there was that bald guy with the eunuch bald guy. He just kind of slimed his way through.
Yeah, exactly.
it reminds me of Lindsey Graham a little bit.
Yeah, I watched the whole series, and it was so true. It was so close to reality. Let's put it this way. I thought this is far-fetched. None of this kind of crap can happen, and I'll be damned if it's not happening.
But that series ended around time when Trump started office, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's because, and the only reason it did is because Kevin Spacey had a little...
House of Cards.
He had a little House of Cards of his own.
Oh, collapsed. Man. That was a good show, too. That first couple seasons were really good.
It was really great.
And that seemed way too far-fetched. And now it seems like nothing.
And it's now
like
it's reality.
Child's play.
It's fiction becoming reality. I sat down over a few days and watched the whole series on Netflix. And it's really kind of neat when you watch it like that, you know, one after another. So because there's so much stuff that you got to remember.
It's true. Yeah, it's better to watch them like
before
that.
But it really was.
I did good. Breaking Bad the whole entire series in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Wow, man, that's
2 weeks. Yeah, that was hard. It was a full time job basically. 8 hours a day.
That's hardcore.
8 hours a day for 2 weeks. It wasn't easy.
Oh, and before I go any farther, for you Antifa folks out there. I was wrong. I was wrong when I likened you to the Illuminati. Yes, you do really exist. And I did some research on Antifa. And I think part of the reason I thought they were probably urban legends because there were so many hoaxes and whatever online about Antifa. And what is Antifa? Well, I find out that Antifa is really an umbrella term for a number of groups. Okay.
Well, it stands for anti-fascist.
Yeah, anti-fascist. So here's, let me pull this up because I love this.
And fascism is another term that people don't fully understand either, too.
So yeah, there.
We'll talk about that later.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
A little bit.
Communism, fascism.
Oh, by the way,
socialism.
Tomorrow, we're going to have another person on this podcast who has a different point of view, maybe the other side. So we're going to try to have a nice conversation. With a supporter of Trump and who is a very intelligent and well-spoken person. We're excited about that. So we're going to hopefully come to some great revelations together and common ground, and we're excited. So hope you guys can tune into that one as well. So we're both excited about that one.
Right.
And that's what this is all about, because it's very simple and fun to talk to people that are agree with you about everything, but it's a lot harder to have a productive conversation with those on the other side, especially right now. Everything's so divided, and there's a lot of emotions and powerful emotions, and the information that we get is different. And so we're both excited about the prospects of we don't know how it's going to go, but I'm looking forward to it. So hope you guys tune in.
Well, I think the word productive was key. Yeah, yes. We want this to be productive. And for any of you that listen to it, and if you're expecting a mudslinging back and forth, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. We're not going to lower ourselves to that. We're going to have a rational
We want to listen.
Exactly.
Both sides want to listen, I think. Yeah. And that's where there's been a deficiency in this last 4 years, and more than 4 years. I mean, this is goes back way, but it's just peaking now. It's peaking now. And we're trying to kind of dissolve that a little bit. Let's get back to listening. Let's get back to, respect. So that's where we're trying to go with this. We'll see how it goes.
And before I go on, I just want to,
there he goes again
improve.
With his cell phone,
man.
He's a man in demand.
I guess, man, everybody. Well, like I said, I do have some friends that are still alive, John. Now you got me all messed. We want to hear from you guys. I mean, it's whether you agree with us or if you're Antifa or if you're Proud Boys or
Oath Keeper.
Oath Keeper. Well, we're going to go over that's what I'm getting ready to go over now.
Actually, that's true. I would like to talk to an Oath Keeper or a Proud Boy. And I know you would have to go through a lot of layers of maybe some anger to get through, and I think they'd have to understand that we're not out to make anybody look bad.
No.
Nobody's here to make anybody look bad. And we all love America. We're trying to come to a place where there's agreement. I don't think, if people just want civil war and just to have a civil war, then I don't know if we can have a conversation at that point.
But if
you're willing to, if you really care about the country and you want to people to come together, then we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. And one comment I want to make too, folks, I am not a diehard Democrat, or I am an independent. Okay. And believe you me, if this was a Democratic president acting like this, we would be doing the same thing on these shows, but it's just gotten so out of hand. So unbelievable.
I think Trump just chose the Republicans because they were at that ripe stage where they could be used.
Yeah.
You know, and it could have easily happened on the Democrat side. Yeah. He would have gone either way. He didn't care. He doesn't care about Republicans. He doesn't care about Democrats. It's not, it's not an issue. He just chose the, whatever the party was, the kind of the weakest at the moment, because they were, they had gone through 8 years of, you know, having a Democratic president, and it, they were kind of weak. They were a weak party at that.
Oh, yeah.
In 2016, they were super weak. Look at all the other people.
Yeah, they needed,
they weren't doing well. And he saw that, he seized on the opportunity on a weak party. Democrats were pretty strong. I mean, they had Hillary. That was a pretty strong candidate at the time. I'm not a huge fan of Hillary, but, you know, she was a strong candidate, but so they were a strong party, and they just, he just seized on a weak party, and it could easily have been switched to, he would have gone Democrat. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, he already, because of his antics as a civilian, I guess, and especially since he had that show The Apprentice, he was already very recognizable. People already knew him. I mean, countrywide he was known.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Republicans didn't have the task of taking essentially somebody that nobody knows anything about.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah, to this guy, he's marketable.
Yeah.
You know?
He's seen as successful.
Yes, he's seen as successful.
Yeah. He also voted Democrat, I think, several times in his life. He was, but anyway, by mail, too.
This is... You know, like I said, I've been researching Antifa and Proud Boys.
Oh yeah,
to both. And and I've been working on this since Saturday. But I said, my God, there was so much material coming out every day. It's just hard to keep up with it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Antifa, it's a left wing anti-fascist political movement. Okay, and is highly decentralized and comprises an array of autonomous groups that aim to achieve their objectives through the use of both nonviolent and violent direct action, and that's where I really part company with them. I'm not into extremist anything,
right?
You know, I think, because to me, if you're extremist, you close your eyes and your ears to everything else.
That is well said. That's exactly how I feel about it. Closed bad, open good.
yeah, exactly. And well, and the thing, and here's where, like I said, I would really part ways with these folks is violent action, because they had, in fact, over the weekend on Saturday, same day they had the Trump rally in D.C. But anyway, the Antifa folks clashed with the Proud Boys, and somebody. It's finally happened, folks. Somebody got shot. Now, as to whether it was an Antifaite or a Proud Boy that got shot, they didn't say, because whoever got shot survived, and he was in the hospital, and he's not cooperating at all with authorities, so we don't know. So as of when I looked at it a couple of days ago, They didn't say if it, you know, which side he was on or whatever, and what kind of condition he was. I take it he's okay because he's obviously conscious and all that and able to talk, but he just won't cooperate. Anyway, this and here's part of where I was confused about Antifa. And like I said, Antifa is actually a collective term. It's composed of these decentralized autonomous groups. For example, you got. By any means necessary. Don't like the sound of that. The Iron Front, the Redneck Revolt.
Those are on the Antifa side?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. These are some of the Antifa groups. Refuse Fascism, Skinheads Against Radical Prejudice. Huh. Yeah. Figure that one out.
Boy, it's complicated. And
United Against Fascism. And the defunct groups are Anti-Fascist Action, Anti-Nazi League, Anti-Racist Action, and Movement for Justice.
I think I'd like to. I'm curious about the numbers of people in these groups, like how many. What's the total number of Antifa? What's the total number of whatever? There is no right wing umbrella group like Antifa. They seem to have their own factions that are larger. But Antifa is like sort of, as you say, there's a multiple factions under one umbrella. But what's the total number? Because we're giving a lot of time and energy and worry and concern about these groups. But we're talking, 50,000 people in the whole country. You know, is it yes, we should. I mean, I think that whether Biden won or Trump won, there's going to be violence.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Either way, it's going to be violence. So it doesn't really matter who, and both sides are going to do violence on each other. The two extreme groups are going to do violence regardless. And how much do we, you know, how much does it really matter, I guess, is the question. Is it, you know, I don't, civil war, the concept of civil war is silly because there is not going to be a civil war. If there's going to be anything, it's going to be a bunch of little, you know, maybe a few little terrorist acts by people, or maybe there'll be
domestic terror,
maybe a few little bombings here and there, or maybe some clashes between Antifa and the right-wing groups, right?
Right.
Because the normal people are nobody's going to, there's no reason to have a civil war. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, taking to this, here's my spin on this is we all have First Amendment rights, so I have no problem with people taking to the streets to protest. If you're unhappy or whatever, you have the right to do that. But where I do have a problem is when you take up arms and then go to the streets to protest.
That
I
mean, is a why whole
in
different,
the hell, why in the hell would anybody need to take a gun to a protest? You know, I mean, one of you guys that do it, please get a, you know, and enlighten me.
Explain.
Explain that, you know.
What are you going to use that gun for?
Yeah.
You know, are you afraid? Are you that afraid you know that whatever dispute you're going to get in, are you going out to shoot people?
Yeah.
Like, what other reason do you have a gun? Are you going out to shoot people?
Yeah.
You're going to shoot some of your fellow citizens?
It's like,
what are you doing, dude?
What do you expect to happen or what do you plan on doing?
That's,
you know, that's what I just, this violent stuff. And like I said, folks, Antifa in my eyes, Antifa and Proud Boys are equally guilty.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't go with
100%. Look, anybody can buy a gun. You're not special because you own a gun or hold a gun or show a gun. Anybody can have a gun. Any idiot can have a gun and show it, you know, like that doesn't make you special or strong or, you know, it causes problems, right? Like when you show up in public to a protest with guns, like what are you thinking is like, are you trying to protect? Now, you know, it does seem like Antifa doesn't carry guns as much as the right wing side. They tend to just break things and cause anarchy. they'll break businesses and destroy, light fires and things like that. They don't seem to have guns as much as they're, and it seems like there's sort of this like, okay, Antifa is going to go cause anarchy and destroy things. And then the right wing guys are going to come in with their guns and try to crush Antifa. So like, what are you guys doing?
Well,
do you think that's going to solve anything or, like, I still think it's those factions, those extreme factions that are kind of battling each other. They, you know, 99% of the population, 99.5% of the population is not participating in this stuff. Regular protests, there's a lot of people are doing that.
And
I think
fine.
That's great. Yeah. I think that's part of this country is you get the right to protest, you know? And I think that's very cool. It's, you know, and then you get these extreme groups and, neither one of them, as you say, you know, neither one of them are okay. And it is the line is violence. That is the line where you have to, you know, and maybe the difference is like when Antifa does stuff, they send the federal troops in. But when the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers do stuff, they don't send federal troops in.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Gee, I wonder why.
I don't know, maybe.
You don't know who the really unofficial head of the Proud Boys is. We'll see, wouldn't that be Donald Trump, maybe? Did I say that?
Who knows? Well, he doesn't disavow things. And
no,
he's not giving any direct orders or anything, but, you know, he never disavows them. He said, there's good people on both sides. You know, it's whatever.
Well, actually, here toward the end of this podcast, I've got some material that will show that he's given the Proud Boys direct orders.
Okay. There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah,
maybe not first.
You heard maybe it here. Maybe not first. Anyway, we were talking about Antifa, and I want to talk about the Proud Boys. And they're a far right neo-fascist and male only domestic terrorist and organization that promotes and engages in political violence in the United States and Canada. Now, they so here's their mantra, if you will. Chauvinism. I'm sure the feminists just love to hear that shit. neo-fascism. Wow.
So they're proclaiming themselves as fascists.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got a fascist president right now. So, I mean, it just falls right in line, doesn't it? I mean, dictator, amazing. Fascist, whatever, you know, fascism and white nationalism.
Okay.
They are openly racist.
Sure.
So
numbers. I'm curious about numbers. How many Proud Boys are there? We don't know. That's going to be a hard one to find out.
I would love to know that.
I think. What, I don't know how much difference it really makes, but.
Oh, and I also looked at, now this one's weird. This one is really QAnon. Oh. It's the left, according to QAnon, the left is a bunch of satanic, pedophilic sex traffickers.
Oh yeah, there's a huge conspiracy about pedophile and everyone on the left is a pedophile. Democrats are pedophiles.
Yeah, exactly.
Huge conspiracy.
Where the hell did that come from? I mean, Pizzagate
and things like that. Okay. I mean, well, the Epstein stuff has caused people to go down that road, I think.
Okay, and here's where it gets a little bizarre. Well, not that it's not bizarre to begin with, but they're part of their what they're selling says that Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci have conspired to use vaccine to inject microchips to track people.
There's always going to be that stuff, you know.
You know, this because, well, one thing, we need to do a podcast, John, on conspiracies. I mean, there are so many out there. I mean, well, God, we could, hell, that'd give us enough ammunition for a lifetime, probably. This country loves conspiracies. We just love conspiracies. Okay, so we were talking earlier about Trump and the Proud Boys. Well, when you go back to primaries, that Trump told the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by.
Yes, stand by, right.
Stand by. Yeah. So if he's not giving direct order to the Proud Boys, if that's not a direct order, I don't know what is.
Right.
And he obviously endorses these people and he encourages them. And they're into violence, so mm-hmm. That's great.
Great, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, going back to Saturday, had four people stabbed and critically injured in a fight at the Trump rally outside of Harry's Bar, which is a well-known Proud Boys hangout. Of course, one was shot in Olympia, and we don't know much more about that. But, you know, they had this. There is, and if you want to see the whole thing, folks, if you want to see the whole thing, go to cspan.org, and you will see all the speakers at the pro-Trump Stop the Steal rally in D.C. I watched the whole thing. Okay,
I'm sorry.
I put myself through that. But
took one for the team there.
Exactly, because I wanted to see who was speaking. So this is, it looked more like a high school pep rally. Mm. I mean, they were like, you know, stop the steal, stop the steal, you know, okay.
Right.
Wow, that was neat. But anyway, one of the speakers, and this kind of blew me away, his name is Representative Bob Good. He is the congressman-elect from Virginia's 5th Congressional District, okay? Now, of course, nobody at the Trump rally is wearing a mask. He comes up to the podium to speak, and he's not wearing a mask. In fact, nobody did.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And he called, now get this, he called the COVID situation a phony pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's a virus, it's not a pandemic. Duh. I think viruses are caused by bacteria viruses. And he said it's a phony pandemic. It's just a virus. Okay.
Speaking to his audience, you know.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said he was proud to see all those maskless people out in the crowd.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely proud.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then so I'm thinking, okay, why don't you tell that to my daughter? My younger daughter is an ER nurse here in Indianapolis. And she's at the VA, and they are becoming overwhelmed with the phony pandemic victims. Right. And she said, you know, we're not seeing fewer every day. We're seeing more and more every day. Tell that to our guest speaker tomorrow. He is a physician, an anesthesiologist, and he's had COVID in his household. But go ahead, tell him that this is a phony pandemic, you know? I love that. But anyway, this whole thing goes on for an hour and 42 minutes. I mean, hey, am I great or what? I actually watched the whole damn thing.
Did the pillow guy talk?
Was
the pillow guy on there?
Man, you must be reading because he's the next.
He's the savior. He's gonna save the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's gonna make it work.
In fact, he's the first one who's gonna talk about. There were, I don't know how many. I didn't count the number of speakers, but I highlighted the ones that really caught my eye. You know, like I said, if you want to see the whole thing, just go to cspan.org and you're welcome to watch.
Clip of a guy introducing the pillow guy, and he gave a little spiel about, you really got it. These are the best pillows. You got to buy them. And it was like this.
Yeah.
It was an advertisement.
Yeah, it was an advertisement for pillows. Yeah, yeah.
Before putting this guy on to speak about this stealing the elections of the United States of America.
Yeah, well, that's coming from, of course, Mike Lindell, is the CEO of MyPillow.
Oh, yeah.
And a well-known...
Hell of a mustache, too.
And a well-known cocaine addict.
Well, you know, not...
He's a self-proclaimed cocaine addict.
Does he still do it now?
Supposedly not. But you know, it's just like alcoholism.
Still some knocking in there, knocking around in there. Still a little bit left in there.
Whether you're drinking or not,
residuals.
Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug abuser, always a drug abuser. So supposedly he is not using now, but who knows? You know, the other guy. This is a conservative comedian, and I had to laugh at him. I mean, he was funny. He said, and get this, Democrats try to divide and conquer. Now, somebody in this country is working real hard to divide and conquer, and I believe that person is one Donald Trump, unless I'm mistaken.
That's one thing I've known about Trump and his staff, is if they accuse somebody of something, that means they themselves are doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very, very, it's 100%. True. If they ever accuse you,
this is one of since you brought this up, this is one of the things that really that I find really bizarre, is that if it comes out of Trump for the truth, for the disciples, and I think for most Republicans, I hate to say that, if it comes out of Trump's mouth, it's true.
Yeah.
If he says it, it's true. If he says...
They never think about the possibility of it not being true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and with this, and of course, we know that, you know, we've been over this many times. He espouses this. The election was stolen from me and all that. Okay, Don. All right. So where's the proof?
Right.
Why do you think they're 1 in 59 in court cases?
Yeah. Even the two Supreme Court cases, where they unanimous against him, even with the people that he chose. So, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. I mean, I think their last hope is these alternate electors.
Last ditch effort.
I think they're starting to get scared. I think he's getting scared. He's got a month left. He's going to be a citizen. Or maybe he won't. Maybe he won't be a citizen. I read that the neighbors of Mar-a-Lago down there don't want him there because he got so many tax breaks and... And they don't want him to have, because he can't claim that as his permanent residence. He can't live there permanently because of all the tax breaks. So that they do not want him to live there permanently. And so he's not welcome in Mar-a-Lago to live there. He's not welcome in New York. So maybe he'll just move to, I don't know, Russia, or I don't know where he would live, but maybe, I don't know. Venezuela, Costa Rica. I don't know, but maybe he won't be in the United States anymore.
Yeah, there's speculation among some of his
might just disappear.
Former and present organization people are saying there's a good chance he's going to book because of the criminal and civil cases.
Well, he himself, remember Minnesota? He was talking to the people of Minnesota. He's like, if you don't elect me, if I don't win Minnesota, then you'll never see me again.
Oh, I didn't hear.
He was stumping to try to get people's votes back. He said, if you don't vote for me and I don't win Minnesota, you'll never see me again.
Yeah.
And now it's making sense.
Yeah.
He's actually going to disappear.
Because
he's going to have to be on the run. He's going to let his hair go. Nobody will recognize him. He's not going to wear his long ties anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. He better lose the hair.
No more golf courses.
He better lose the do if he wants to go into hiding. It kind of sticks out like a sore thumb.
It's got its own, I don't know.
Yeah.
Habitat.
Here's another one. Daniel Bostic. Now, this is a kid. He's an actor, supposedly. I don't know. I never heard of him before. But anyway, he is an organizer of Stop the Steal. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he got up there and said, we are the majority. We are the majority. Well, I hate to tell you, son, the majority spoke.
Yeah.
No, the real majority spoke November 3rd, and it's not... It's not you.
That's
people.
A bad argument.
Yeah. It just makes
you can't. It's just silly.
Well, like I said, this whole thing was like a high school pep rally. It was bizarre. Anyway, Nick Fuentes, who is another. Now, get this. It's Nick Fuentes, who is a diehard Trump disciple, said, quote, we are going to destroy the GOP.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I saw that little clip. It's interesting.
Yeah, he's putting Trump before party, so we are going to destroy the GOP. I'm like, okay, all right, well, that's good.
That's why I think this just because January 20th comes and Biden will take office and Trump may disappear, there's gonna be a lot of people that continue the road of resistance for years. Not a lot. Maybe like 10% or something. The extreme people that you're talking about, I'm guessing. I mean, I don't think that 47% of the country is going to not recognize Joe Biden as the president. I think it might be more like, it might be 10 to 15%, though. People might not, they might continue to rebel and revolt and not follow, I don't know what they have to follow. I mean, federal, there's not a whole lot of, I mean, it's just taxes and, are they not going to pay their taxes? Maybe that's what they're going to do.
Yeah,
I don't know. What power do you have as a citizen to not abide by, if you don't believe that a president won legally, what can you do? You can not pay your taxes, and then maybe you get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
And then maybe they come to put you in jail because you didn't pay your taxes or something for several years, and then you hide out in your house and you have guns and you shoot people or something. Maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know. Like what's the end result here? Man, like if you're not behaving, if you're not following if you don't believe the president, like what recourse do you have?
You must have read. Did you read my notes? Did you read my notes? Because you're saying I have material on.
Good. I'm glad that.
Anyway, this one really bothered me. Of all of them, this one really got my attention, and it bugged the hell out of me. But Alex Jones, and in case you're not familiar, do you know who Alex Jones is? Okay, for those of you who may not be familiar with Alex Jones, he is one of the clowns of the airway like Rush Limbaugh. He's actually got a radio show, and this guy has been, the Southern Poverty Law Center has called him the most prolific conspiracy theorist of all times. Now, here's some examples, and these aren't even probably the tip of the iceberg.
I have one that's really bad if you don't list it.
He said the U.S. government planned 9/11. They planned and carried out the Oklahoma City bombings. They falsified the 1969 moon landing. And he said, we will never back down to the satanic, and this is straight quote, folks. I'm not, this is, well, of course, maybe I altered it. It's like these, well, or the videos. You know, those could be tainted videos.
Yeah, deep fake. They call them deep fakes.
Exactly. That they've been tampered with, and yeah. I'm just too naive to see it. But anyway, it says, we will never back down to satanic pedophile globalist New World Order, and they're walking dead reanimated corpse Joe Biden. And we will never recognize him. That goes back to what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
He added, so I don't know who's going to the White House in 38 days, but I sure know this. Joe Biden is a globalist, and Joe Biden will be removed. Now, this is the part that really, really, Biden, I mean, this is getting serious now, folks. Removed one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, that's a direct threat on the president.
Yeah, and see, like I said, we all have the freedom of speech, right? But yeah. I think that stops when you make terroristic threats. I think there are laws against making terroristic threats.
Well, you know, you got taken off the air, and I think removed from Twitter because of his, I forget the name of the, there was a mass shooting where all those like young kids.
Oh yeah,
20 kids. Was it Sandy Hook? Was it Sandy Hook?
Yes, I forget. He taunted the victims.
And he taunted the victims and their families, and he eventually got sued big time. And he, you know, that, and that was his conspiracy theory that it just didn't happen. And he got in a lot of trouble for that. I mean, that's just an example of how low the guy is and just how rotten to the core he is. I think he does it because it makes him feel powerful. He wants ratings. He wants money. He wants, you know, it's like he's got a problem. And, you know, it sucks that we allow, I mean, we are America. You do allow people. But I think as your point is that there is a point where it becomes an actual threat, a tangible threat.
Yeah,
right. There are exactly. They call them credible threats.
Credible threats.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's not. I mean, it's becoming a credible threat. You say it once, yes, it's pretty credible. But then you continue to say it, and you on a day to day basis, and you start getting an audience, you start growing people that are believing this stuff, and they're gearing up for something, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary. You know, the amount of firepower that those guys have, and you know, but I think it's the hate and anger that scares me more than the firepower, because they're willing to do things that are just, you know, really, 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 really harmful, and they're willing to go there. You know, so I don't know. I was always surprised that Obama was able to not be assassinated. I thought that the day he won in 2008, he was going to get assassinated.
Yeah.
I just felt like he made it 8 years and he's still going. I'm so surprised that I was always thinking that I was really nervous that one time. That
yeah. How many threats were made? Oh, we're going to kill him and all that. You and know,
he made it. So if he can make it through, then maybe Biden will have a chance. So.
Yeah. You know, that thought crossed my mind, because especially when I hear he's going to be removed one way or another.
Yeah. I also thought Trump might be, I thought Trump might have gotten, you know, made some people might have made some attempts on him too, but there hasn't, as far as I know, there haven't been any.
And with the knife and gun fights that these people have been involved with over the weekend, they are fully capable.
Yeah. It's gotten to another level,
yeah.
I think, recently. I mean, it's gotten to another level of intensity. So.
And anyway, in response to that brilliant statement by that imbecile, David Weissman, who's involved with the anti-Trump Republican group, the Lincoln Project. No, see, now here we go. Here's one of those extremists. So, you know, you got to take this with a grain of salt, folks. Was among those highlighting Jones's choice of language and warning that his speech appeared to be a call for violence. And he said, this anti-Semitic trope, I love that, should also be considered a threat, and Alex Jones should be arrested for incitement. And
how do you handle these people? There seems to be more and more people that are pushing the boundaries of what is legal, because we do live in a free society with free speech. And how do you start clamping down on people that are starting to make these really violent threats? And how do you do that in a way that is sort of agreeable to the general public and our laws? And you know, it seems like a challenging thing to start doing, because there's a lot of people doing it. I mean, then you don't want to become a society that just clamps down on anybody that says anything. You know, where's the line? You start doing that, you start clamping down on everybody. And so you kind of have to allow it and until maybe until things actually start happening. Yeah. And then maybe, you, but I don't, you don't want that stuff to happen either. So it's complicated. I don't want either side to do that, but no. I also don't want them to do that. Those violent threats. Yeah. I don't want either thing to happen. Why, you know, the whole, the, all the conspiracy stuff, like the pedophile stuff and yeah, it just, it gets people way too excited. It makes them, it inflames them. And, you know, especially people with guns are sitting around and, yeah, it's we're in a dangerous time right now, especially right now.
You know, I would hope that the FBI, for example, at the very least would be keeping track of these people. I mean, when they have
sure
shown
that they're,
it's not just rhetoric, folks. They have shown themselves physically to be capable of violence. They've done it. So what's to stop them from continuing on? And they got away with it. I mean, there were like 20, I think there was a total of 23 arrests at the pro-Trump rallies. And I'll bet you every one of those guys walking the streets today.
Yeah, but what's, you know, what's it going to take for some clampdown? Is it going are they going to go in and just like start shooting or like kill a governor or like yeah. assassinate a governor or kill some official or some I don't know what's and after that happens then it's going to snowball and just I don't know it's
yeah where yeah.
maybe we need to take a break
yeah
where, on that note
where does it end
reset
yeah let's do that
take a little break
yeah okay sounds good
all right
this is a John original
well
piece.
If I can pull okay. it up it's not playing
yeah if you can play it
there we go
yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh I gotta try. Okay this is technical difficulties. You know what I need is a engineer. I need an engineer in the house. Anybody want to be my engineer?
Well, you know, as popular and big as this podcast is getting, John, we need, like I said, we need to retain an attorney.
Oh yeah.
Or, you know, we and an engineer. I think
we can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we are back from our little mini break. It's late morning here. And snowed last night about 4 inches. First snow of the season.
You know, it's and beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, hey, you know that could be lyrics for a song.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I think that would be bad.
I don't know. Somehow, it just kind of, you know, sticks in your head a little bit.
So I'm playing an original that I did.
All right.
Way back when, I don't know, 15 years ago. Yeah. This is all done in Reason, if anybody knows music production. But all through the computer, no keyboards.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds like synthesized, yeah. Cool.
Sampled or not sampled
well, computer,
sequenced
yeah it's computer generated
but anyway moving on to the next subject well similar subject just
yeah. well I want to talk
digging
yeah we can
digging
move,
for gold nuggets
move on to yesterday the 15th
okay
the event and again folks if I have skipped or missed any major events over these days, please contact me and let me know. Cause there was just so much I was like up to my chin with material.
What's your, do you have an email address? Not your personal email address, but do you have an email address that you can set up that you could take questions?
Yeah, I could do that.
We could call it, The John and Tom Show at gmail.com.
Yeah.
I'm going to set that up today.
Yeah. Why don't we do that? Yeah. Cause I, like I said, cause we really want to hear from people. I, it's great to sit here, you know, and talk amongst ourselves, but, we really want to get input. And again, no matter if you're pro Trump or anti Trump or whatever, we want to hear from you, you know, because we're curious. We want to become knowledgeable. Oh, sorry about that. I keep pulling away from the microphone. Anyway, moving on to yesterday, the 15th. Mm-hmm. Now, this again was scary and unbelievable. Yesterday, Lynn Wood, who is one of Trump's umpteen attorneys, said this: make sure you have plenty of water, food, flashlights and batteries, candles, radio, Second Amendment supplies, which I assume means firearms and ammo, among other things. A plan to meet with leaders of your communities, he urged.
And who's Lynn Wood again?
He is one of Trump's attorneys. Lynn Wood.
Personal attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
Personal
yes, attorneys. Yes, okay. Yes. One of his many brilliant, brilliant.
Who's he telling this to? He's just telling this to people on Twitter or something? No, or who's he?
I don't know. This was a quote I took off, an article about yesterday.
I heard that as well, that he did that.
But, like they say in the TV infomercials, but wait, there's more. And he included a photo of Trump with the caption, "I'm still your president." And I saw that, and it's a picture of Donnie looking right at you, and it says, "I'm still your president." So
yeah, for another 30 days.
Yeah, another 30 days.
Bye-bye.
But now, get this. And this is part of what really blew me away. In another statement, Lynn Wood said President Trump is a genuinely good man. He does not like to fire people. I bet he dislikes putting people in jail, especially Republicans. He gave Brian Kemp and Secretary of State Raffensperger every chance to get it right. They refused. They will soon get this, be going to jail. This is where we really need legal counsel. Evidently, and I take this to mean that evidently Trump thinks because he's president, he can put anybody he damn well pleases in jail. Now that sounds like a dictator to me.
I think he truly believes that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he may actually have that right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he may. I think the president can do that.
Yeah.
And that's something that we should maybe think about,
Well, see, that's where we need to get, a legal to...
George Conway, if you're listening, please call.
Yeah,
Just email the John and Tom Show
at gmail.com.
Yeah. George Conway.
Yeah. We really want
to... Please let us know.
Yeah, seriously. I want to hear from, an attorney about this, because I have no idea, but even at that, that sounds like something a dictator would do. If you don't do my bidding, I'm going to throw you in jail. If I think you're an enemy, whether you're a real enemy or not, I'm going to put you in jail.
Right.
And Trump also said, now get this, and I don't know what the implication is here. He says, I want the names of the 27 members of Congress, those being Republicans, who acknowledge Biden as president-elect. So what's he going to do with these 26? Is he going to lock them up too?
Yeah. Right. Like, what's, okay, here are the names. Now what?
Yeah, okay.
What are you going to do with them?
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do with it? You're going to have them all arrested and put in jail?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And here, his sweetheart station was Fox News. Yeah. In fact, there for a long time, the only news station he watched was Fox News. And one of his big supporters and best buddies, Geraldo Rivera, said the other day, look, understand it's over.
Well, if Geraldo says it. Well, it's just like what Putin. Putin came out and said he recognized Biden as the president, and then that next day McConnell did. So McConnell's like, you know what? Putin said it's okay. So, yeah, I guess it's okay.
Yeah,
McConnell. and then Geraldo said probably after that in line. You got Putin, McConnell, and then Geraldo. I don't know what the order was, but I bet it's in that order.
Well, of course, Fox has been on Trump's enemy list since election night. Remember, we talked about this earlier because they called Arizona for Biden, and it really pissed them off because they hadn't even finished. I guess they hadn't finished counting the votes yet, but it's pretty obvious that at that point he was going to lose Arizona.
You know that, you know, Randy Quaid, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he, yeah. Randy Quaid is a guy from a Christmas Vacation and a lot of other movies.
Great actor, funny.
Funny yeah, dude, yeah. But he's kind of gone off the deep end a little bit. And, you know, he's kind of in the extreme group on the Trump side now.
Yeah.
And he tweeted something, a crazy picture of himself, and the president retweeted it. And the retweet said, "Time to make OAN and Newsmax rich. Fox is dead to me." That was on November 12th.
Ah. Well, that's right. OAN and Newsmax. So
yeah.
So Trump still got two networks.
Yeah.
You know, going for him.
Yeah, and he, you know, a lot of people talk about him starting his own as well, Trump News Network, whatever.
Yeah, I heard that. You know, I you know what.
But it's, he'll probably, I don't think he'll do very well at that. But you know, he may not have to, because if he has these other ones that will do whatever he says, then maybe he won't have to do it. But if he does come out of hiding, that is, but
exactly. Yeah. Well, here's something else. And this happened, I think, over the weekend. HGTV does their annual Christmas at the White House. Okay. And what it consists of is they go through each room of the White House with the First Lady, and she explains the decorations and all that. And this year, I guess it really is something spectacular. I didn't see it, but the theme is America the Beautiful. Now, get this. HGTV was inundated with tweets and emails from pro-Trumpers who were pissed off because HGTV dared to mention past presidents and Trump haters, like said George, like George and Barbara Bush, they were Trump haters, but they mentioned, oh, you know, when the Christmases that Barbara Bush did when she was first lady, and of course the Obamas. You know, they mentioned the Obamas, and they're genuinely pissed off. In fact, one of them says, "Well, can't even watch HGTV anymore."
Yeah,
you know, what? You know,
it's absolutism.
Okay, and on the international impact of this, and of course, you know, those real Trump disciples. Well, what the hell do we care? This is America, right? You know, we don't give a damn. We don't have to worry. We're not. So what if we're part of the world community? We can do whatever the hell we want. Well, for one thing, do you know if the United States only comprises 4% of the world's population? 4%. That's it. That means there's a whole lot more people out there in the world than there are Americans. But anyway.
Thank you for that tidbit.
Yeah.
It's important to remember that sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
I think when you travel abroad and, you know, all over the world, different places, you realize that more and more, like, people don't really care that much about America and its politics. Like, depending on where you go, it's not that big. No, nobody really cares that much when you travel, and they're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, we're so egocentric here. I mean, we are still the number one country in the world, and it's on a lot of ways, and we're doing, you know, I love America, and I'm happy that we're successful and everything, but you know, we do get a little carried away with our vision of ourselves sometimes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we think that everybody in the world, you know, maybe back in the late 80s, early 90s, we were superstars, but we've kind of lost a little favor in the world.
We are the shining star of democracy, and our president is the leader of the free world.
I mean, we have more nukes
in that regard. You know, that's a good point, John. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. Anyway, here's some of the international reaction to the, and I can tell you, the Europeans don't like Donald Trump. My goodness. In fact, I was reading Der Spiegel the other day, and that is a German news magazine, and has the largest circulation in Europe, about 870,000, I think. And they, I saw this and I started laughing. My wife was in Germany. My wife said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "This says loser of the year." And there's a picture of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So, So, but anyway, it was, and they lambasted him. So if you want to, there's English versions of it. You can pull it up in English, and it's just Der Spiegel, which is, it means the mirror. And it's been around, that's a news magazine, it's been around forever and a day.
Is it considered a, like, left or right wing
Yeah, you know, paper? I don't know. I go, of course, I'm half German. I've been there quite a few times, and I visit, you know, friends and family there. But, you know, I've never really discussed that with anybody, politically, which way it leans. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, right wing in Germany is probably a little tenuous.
Like, oh, yeah, that's real, usually, you're usually talking skinheads and all that stuff.
Yeah, it still exists. Yeah. It's just just more extreme and, you know, it's... Well, it also has a lot of sensitivity
these
there.
These asshole neo-Nazis and all that crap. Yeah,
so it's
probably
grown in the last 4 years.
So. Oh, yeah. They've got just as... Well, anyway, they got just as many nuts over there as we've got.
Sure.
Here.
It's human nature. You're going to have a certain percentage of nuts.
Yeah. And the population. The only reason it's less nuts because the total population of Germany is only about 81 million. So, they don't have near the pool.
What do you think the percentage of nut to non-nut is in all of the world?
Christ,
how many people are absolute nuts?
I don't know. I know one of them's in the White House right now.
I'm going to say 10% are off their rocker nuts. 5% on one side, 5% on the other. Like, completely off the rockers.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Well, you know, you made the point earlier, and it's a point well taken. We think that there's all kinds of extremists out there.
Right.
And why? Because they get press.
They get press.
And you see these aerial views of, like, the Trump rally. It's like, oh my God.
That's happening everywhere. It's, the world is falling. The sky is falling. But it's really just a couple hundred, like, very desperate people, angry, hateful people who have been driven to this. And it doesn't represent the country that, you know, 85, 90% of the country that just wants to go about their day. But what you got there?
Well, anyway, this is an article from Barcelona, and it said last month, now get this one, last month when Sweden's TV4, the largest broadcast network in Scandinavia, sent political analyst Anne Tyborg to cover the U.S. election, her producers were so afraid of the possible mayhem awaiting her that they insisted she pack a bulletproof vest, helmet, and gas mask.
Wow.
Yeah. And
gas mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I said, happily, Tyborg didn't need the combat gear. Fortunately, she personally didn't encounter any violence. But we've gotten, you know, like you said, the political leaders in Europe have congratulated Biden on being the president-elect. And I think it was Macron in France who said, welcome back, America.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, Trump blew off the Paris Accords on climate control. And I know that Biden has said one of the first things he's going to do is get us back in the Paris Accords.
I'd like to just explore the topic of globalism a little bit, and, you know, negatives and positives of globalism and how, you know, where we're at right now. And I know Obama was a big globalism guy and, you know, more open borders, accepting of all cultures and a globalist economy, and now, you know, with Trump, it's completely the opposite of that. We're nationalist economy, nationalist country, protective, and you know, I'd like to explore both of those and understand them a little better. I don't know enough about. Maybe if there's somebody who's an expert on that, could help me understand how globalism has affected that. Because I do believe that we did get hurt a little bit by over-globalizing our economy a little bit. I think, you know, sending everything to China and just letting all the manufacturing go over there and things like that. I'd be curious to see, you know, and bringing, you know, one thing maybe Trump has done good in some ways is trying at least bringing back some effort of having American manufacturing and bringing things back here, at least in his words. I don't know if it's true in his actions, but in his energy is like, let's bring back some American pride of manufacturing. I think I can get behind that. And I would like to see more of that. I think everybody would. And maybe we went too far. We stretched ourselves a little too thin by going to China on everything because of the money.
And
it is so much cheaper. But now it's not as cheap because China is different than it was 20 years ago. And maybe we need to rethink that. And some of those that, you know, more bringing stuff back to America is the right thing to do. And so, and some of the other globalist ideas that maybe need to be rethought. And, you know, some of that, maybe the Trump energy of bringing things home can be productive in some ways. And let's not completely poo-poo it just because Trump said it. You know, like, I think our guest tomorrow is going to be talking about some of that, where just because Trump says something, you don't automatically assume that it's bad. You have to think about it and take each issue as it is. And, you know, whether or not he's, you know, I believe that he's not necessarily, you know, looking out for the country, but sometimes he stumbles into things that are good for the country.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And maybe he does have some ideas that are good for the country. And so we need to pay attention to those just like anybody would on the other side. You know, I think the Senate during Obama's term, they had closed eyes to everything he wanted to do. And that was wrong too. You know, like I think, you got to just take everything. What's best for the country? You know, like what's best for the country? I'm just looking for ways to try to come together and heal a little bit with some of the things that may have been good about his presidency.
Oh yeah.
It's not all bad. And I think, you know, the media, and I think Scott, who's going to be our guest, is going to be talking a little bit about that, how the media, definitely over vilified him. I mean, he kind of deserved it in a lot of ways, but they did take it in a few extra steps where it's like, no matter what, everything he says is bad, everything. And that they start becoming not as responsible journalists in that regard. But, it's a delicate subject, but I think we're going to get into that a little bit, when we talk to him and some other issues, election fraud and COVID, I think, are some of the other things we're going to discuss.
Yeah, he would know COVID very well because he's had it. And I hope he and his family are doing great because I know Scott. I hold Scott in the highest regard. He's a great guy. I respect him, and I'm really looking forward to us talking to him tomorrow. But, you know, you were talking about not everything that Trump did was bad, and that's true. I mean, up until the election, I was pretty ambivalent about Trump. You know, I really wasn't a fan, but I wasn't one an anti.
He's a whackpacker.
He was a whackpacker, exactly. And he did some good things as president. I mean, for one thing, he's trying to get the trade deficit, the god-awful astronomical trade deficit we have with China under control, and the economy has fared well. You know, there are some good things, but what's really turned me off is what is his behavior since the election. I mean, he's really starting to show colors that I think are nothing but dangerous. And I used to, before the election, I recognized him as president and I respected him as president. But now I have zero regard, zero respect.
Yeah, I think at this point, when you don't acknowledge an election, an American election, presidential election, as being valid, and it was extremely valid, as we all know.
Oh,
and now
there's
been 59 cases thrown out, and there's still, at this point, if you don't understand it at this point, that where his head and heart are, I don't know if you're ever going to.
Well, you know, we were talking about on the last podcast, we were talking about what a con artist Trump is, and he is. He's the con artist, the flim flam man's flim flam man. In fact, he reminds me of a movie that came out in 1967. It's George C. Scott and Michael Sarrazin. It was a flim flam man, and the premise of the movie was that George C. Scott was this experienced con man, and he buddied up with this young Army deserter, Curly, and it took him in as basically as his protege, and then they ran flim-flams throughout the South. And that's what reminds me of Trump. He is a major flim-flam man. In fact, I would say to the Trump disciples out there, folks, now I know this is a hard pill to swallow. You have been flim-flam, bamboozled, boondoggled, horn-snoggled, and hoodwinked. Okay. You know, you've been sucked in by a con man, and
nobody wants to admit it. When is the moment that you realize it? Like, think about Bernie Madoff, all those people that were conned by him, very, very intelligent people. They sort of knew that it was probably too good to be true, but they did it anyway. And then at what point did it dawn on them that they, when they looked at their bank account and they're, oh, I just lost $5 million or something, right? Like, that's the moment. Oh, so he wasn't telling me the truth?
Yeah. Well,
so what does it take? So do you got to lose money? Like, actually, that's your money. It's gone. But like, for this, in this case, he's bamboozling, you know, your energy, your soul, your patriotism, your nationalism, your, you know, like whatever you want to call it, like your support. It's not money. It's just, you know, your heart and soul, I guess. He's trying to bamboozle. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe that. But it's much, much worse what Bernie Madoff did,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, Bernie Madoff. But the thing is, man, he was a high roller con man. I mean, he had the office in Manhattan and high rise in Manhattan. I mean, he played the part really, really well. And he sucked in a lot of people who are otherwise... You just see, I think sometimes intelligence doesn't have anything to do with it, you know, because a lot of these people he sucked in were obviously very intelligent.
They probably knew it was a scam or something.
Yeah, like that. But
they liked that 20% return or whatever it was.
This is the same scam that Trump is. Well, look at all these things I have, although it's heavily mortgaged, and when I get out of here, creditors are going to start coming after my assets.
Is he still alive, Bernie Madoff?
Oh yeah, he's in prison. I think he's still alive.
I'm
not sure.
What do you think? You think that Trump will pardon him on the way out? Oh, by the way, Bernie Madoff, you're good. I'm proud of you for being a great con man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They, in fact, today I read that Trump's White House legal staff has been trying to tell him to cool it with these firings.
Mm-hmm.
These wholesale firings he's doing because it makes him look vindictive. Well, yeah. You know,
nothing you can do at this point to make him look any...
Karl Rove the other day, if you don't know Karl Rove, he is a Republican strategist and consultant. And he said, hey, you know, Don, you're really starting to look like a sore loser. America does not like sore losers.
You know? That's true. Very true.
And he said he's trying to make a bid for the 2024 elections. Okay, he said, well, while he may be doing himself a favor, he is doing the country anything but a favor right now. And this is a very conservative Republican saying this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karl Rove, yeah. He's, yeah. Man.
But anyway, I lost it again.
Well, I just want to mention something. Tom mentioned a record to me that I should get. It was a Rod Stewart record, and we were talking about it, and I ended up getting it. It's called Sing It Again, Rod. The picture is a whiskey glass. It's the album is actually shaped like a whiskey glass. It's pretty cool, and I was able to find it in a local record store, so I recommend it. It's a little obscure if you can listen to it. It's not even on Spotify, so... Well, I feel cool that I was able to find it.
You know, John, I am so touched that you got me that album. I could just sit here and cry. I had when I was in college, I was jealous as hell because my roommate had that album, and I always wanted to buy it. I never did, but it's of course I was a big Rod Stewart fan anyway.
Yeah.
You know, from especially from my era, he did a lot of really good stuff.
Well, I'd love to play it right now, but I would get sued for millions because our podcast is just so amazing.
Well, wait a minute.
Wait, what's this? Oh,
a final note.
Oh, 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 oh.
got a final note for you.
That was some old music of mine.
You remember we were talking earlier, and I said, you know, John, when I was doing the research for this podcast, you know, every once in a while when you're doing research, you run across something that you really weren't looking for. But when you find it, it kind of hits you right between the eyes. And this one, now get this. Okay. This is your president. And this was taken, this is quote from a recorded interview he did during the 2016 primaries. Okay. It said Ted Cruz's father was with John F. Kennedy's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, shortly before he murdered the president. Okay. And it says the National Enquirer story claims that Rafael Cruz, that's Ted Cruz's father, was pictured with Lee Harvey Oswald holding out pro-Fidel Castro pamphlets in New Orleans in 1963. And I'll tell you, Lee Harvey Oswald was there for a long time. In fact, he had the Fair Play for Cuba committee. I remember, he'd stand in the corner and pass out these anti-American and pro. In fact, he defected to Britain. See, this is what kills me. He was a U.S. Marine.
Who?
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. He got, and during the Marine Corps, he got to be a hell of a good shot. I mean, he hit, he hit 8 out of 10 at 200 yards rapid fire. That's damn good shooting. Okay, so he gets out of the Marine Corps, and in fact, when he was in the Marine Corps, the guys in the unit had he was such a communist and all that, they called him Odwalski. Yeah, so anyway, he gets out, and he defects to Russia. He lives in Russia for a few years, and he meets his wife there. Well, he decides that communist life ain't all that great. You know, there's no beer at the bowling alleys and all this shit. Oh, yeah. So,
right, right.
So he comes back to the U.S. I mean, he's doing all this stuff right under the nose of the FBI and CIA and all that. And then he goes to New Orleans and sets up the Fair Play for Cuba committee, touting Fidel Castro is the greatest thing since buttered bread. And, of course, this is during the time, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that. And they just, I don't know, they seem to ignore him. But anyway, he was supposedly shown in a picture with Lee Harvey Oswald as he's passing out pro-Fidel Castro pamphlets in New Orleans in 1963. Okay, a Cruz campaign spokesman told the Miami Herald, which pointed out numerous flaws in the Enquirer story, that it was another garbage story in a tabloid full of garbage. And now this is coming right straight from the mouth of Trump. He said his father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's being, you know, shot. No, Oswald wasn't shot. He did the shooting. But, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, Trump said Tuesday during a phone interview with Fox News, and that's what I was listening to. What is this right prior to his being shot? He's very confused there. I mean, he forgot it was Kennedy that got shot. And nobody even brings it up. They don't even talk about that. That was reported, and nobody talks about it. I mean, what was he doing? What was he doing with Lee Harvey Oswald shortly before the death? And I assume he's talking about Kennedy. Before the shooting, Trump continued, it's horrible. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. The man who holds the highest office in this land, and the leader, if you will, of the free world, lends credence to what he reads in the National Enquirer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. This goes way over the top. I saw that, and I had to read it a couple. I had to listen to it a few times because I thought, did I really hear that right? You know? So anyway, I guess
it's kind of like anything he sees is, you know, anything he's exposed to kind of becomes that's in his similar thinking becomes reality, and that's what he's quoting, and that's what he's like. you know, it's just, it's kind of insanity. I always say, like, you know, he's kind of an insane person, and he wraps you up into this insane world. I remember when he was on Howard Stern, I always felt like that. He's a little bit insane, and he's narcissistic. And you could see there's some insanity there. He's got this weird world going on in his head, and that's so. When he became president, he kind of made our country that way, because he's inundating us every few minutes with another tweet that's furthering that sort of insanity and bringing you into his own brain and like that craziness. And that's why that's one of the reasons why the last 4 years has been so chaotic, and everybody's, because we're all feeling a little bit of that insanity, because we're being forced to experience it. If you pay attention to any news, all the news all the time is Trump, Trump, Trump.
Oh yeah.
And it's just this crazy sort of chaotic insanity that is his brain. That is his brain. And he's, you know, I think that's all he knows. It's just who he is, you know, and it's the people that, I don't know, it's the people that are around him that are more at fault, I think, that seek to profit off of that, because he has caused chaos and gotten a power, and those people that know better, that should be doing, making better decisions, that are not. It's just sad. Again, I said at the end of every podcast, I end up getting depressed. I don't know.
yeah, I do too. Well, one thing, getting back to the Ted Cruz thing, during the primaries of 2016, Cruz said that Trump was delusional. He doesn't know truth, reality from fiction. And, you know, he's, in other words, he's more than a little touched. So Trump called Ted Cruz Lion Ted, and he spelled it L-Y-E-N, Lion Ted. But now get this, after Trump had won the primary and he needed Ted Cruz's support, he said, and this was, I saw this on a video, he says, somebody asked him, well, what about Lion Ted? He goes, no, he's gone from Lion Ted to Beautiful Ted.
Yeah, it's a fifth grader. He's like a fifth grader.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a fifth grader.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anyway, that's our show for today. I think we summed up a lot of things. I appreciate Tom for bringing up some details from recent events. And until next time, we're gonna go out on one of my old songs and have another one tomorrow with our
get down
friend,
John.
Our friend Scott will be here tomorrow to talk about the other side.
So, John, when are you gonna do your first album?
I've done albums. They didn't go anywhere.
Oh, they
thanks.
Didn't?
Thanks. Oh. I didn't really release them. They just, you know, I just made them for fun. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it's got a good beat. Like it.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a good one.